fun together.
Your Sports Radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox State College.
And we are off rocking and rolling on a terrific Tuesday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's Jeff, it's Scott, and there's a third person in the studio this morning.
Yeah, we're going to do things a little differently.
I like it.
All right, we're going to jump right in. We'll have some open line time later. We'll have our normal sports update later. Just sit tight for that.
You look familiar. I just can't. If only I could.
G's a good start.
I think you need the second syllable, second letter there. Local.
I could go for some tea. Anybody have any tea? Look at that. He's got the tea for me here.
I think you're on it.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
All right, we're welcoming local Congressman Glenn Thompson. Now, we just made this connection yesterday by chance, and I don't know, you're just hanging around or...
I am. I'm out of Washington. That means I am on the road yesterday, all weekend, and then yesterday, circling, Senator Clinton, Tioga, down to finished up in Snyder last night. Now I'm heading to Armstrong after I'm kicking off my terrific Tuesday with you two.
I feel like any day you're not in Washington has to be a good day, but that's maybe just.
Although I got to tell you, Jeff, it has been outstanding to be a part of delivering, keeping promises that. Really the majority of the American people are looking forward to the things that we are getting done. It's exciting. It's a part of making history. We've passed legislation out of the House, which is, the odds aren't good there, right? Because the margin is so tight.
For sure.
And basically everybody thought, wow, they're not going to do anything because, we're down to 1-2 vote margin. But we have done more with a 1-2 vote margin than what I've seen done in a very long time. And some of the most transformational pieces of legislation, I would say, going back to that when they passed the Constitution.
Yeah. Along those lines, I have two questions for you, and then we'll get into the issues. But one, just the overall, I guess, mood in Washington and in Congress in particular, does it feel as fractured as the country feels when you see the juxtaposition of the parade on Saturday and all of the No King protests in the actual Congress? What is the mood with the two sides?
Well, for my friends that were in, which is a smaller number, they're into the No Kings, I want to remind them we have an official holiday for that. It's called Independence Day.
Yes.
4th of July, we celebrate separation from a monarchy and a king. It's a little schizophrenic. I mean, there are, I even had, as you know, I have the privilege of chairing the House Agriculture Committee. First member of Congress from Pennsylvania, 170 years to do that. And normally, I'm able to keep the team together, both sides of the aisle. We're focused on rural America. We're focused on the rural economy. We're focused on, obviously, America's farmers and ranchers and foresters. But even within that realm, or even within that jurisdiction, I had Democratic members that voted against the first part of the Farm Bill, which was amazing because they helped to construct it. Now, it was put in with budget reconciliation, and budget reconciliation is always partisan. It's just the nature of the beast, right? The beauty of budget reconciliation is the Senate only needs 50 plus one. And so I really didn't have any expectations on that. But, we're doing great work together. I'll give you an example. Most recently, two bills that passed with bipartisan support. The first, it was the Clarity Act, which is cryptocurrency. I actually have jurisdiction over cryptocurrency when it comes to tokens, Bitcoin, and other digital assets that are traded as a commodity, because my committee that I chair has oversight over the Commodities Futures Trading Corporation. That was a good bipartisan vote. We've been working on that bill together for a long time. We passed it out of committee. I think it was like 47-6, something like that. I'll take a vote like that any day.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's one example. Another one is, it's got to be one of my favorites, actually, and we're going to get this done, is restoring whole milk and flavor in our schools. Whole milk for healthy kids. Kids need that nutrition. They need those 13 essential elements. There's no beverage better. Now, I get it. Some kids have lactose intolerant and allergies, and there's alternatives for them. That's already in law. But that is a bill that passed out of, now not out of agriculture, but education workforce. Again, a good, strong bipartisan vote. And I'm proud to say it's also passed bipartisan out of the Senate Agriculture Committee.
Donald Trump didn't come out and publicly say that he's for whole milk, did he? Because, my God, we're going to have protests. There's no way we can allow milk in the schools. What are it?
Unfortunately, the people that let their emotions run away with themselves is incredible. Although I'd have no problems with, I'd be glad to stand with with President Trump as he had a milk mustache.
Yes, indeed. I'm kind of flippant with the being out of Washington is a good day, but when you walk into the Capitol building, is there a special, I mean, there has to be a special feeling that you are, as you said, maybe even more so now, but in any time, you are part of an amazing history of the greatest experiment the world has ever seen in government.
It is, and it's a model that's been used by people living in tyranny and in chaos and violence around the world that everybody wants to replicate. And so it's an honor. I mean, when you're standing at any time, but let's just say at dawn or dusk, and the dome, you know, and that dome is lit up, and you think about the history and the people that have walked before me and the opportunity that I have to, you know, to participate in making history. It's pretty special. And you know what? And you got to work to make it bipartisan. I don't ask people to compromise their principles and values. I mean, there's a lot that I don't agree with, but I always welcome them to the table. And to me, that's the way to do it. What we do in a partisan way sometimes doesn't last. We've seen that throughout history.
Yeah.
But if you can make it bipartisan from the beginning and focus on what we can agree upon, and it's usually pretty good, and it makes a big difference in people's lives, and it is sustained. It lasts. I'll throw out a couple of things that I've done with that, with starting with career and technical education. You know, that waiting list now in our career and tech ed schools. You look at CPI, you look at any of the other schools around here, and these young people are graduating with a certificates and a diploma in one hand and multiple job offers in the other.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. And these are great family sustaining jobs, and they're essential to our world today. And it was with President Trump. I've worked on it under different presidents, but I was able to accomplish that bill, modernizing career and technical education, in 2018 under President Trump. And being a kid from Howard, to stand in the Oval Office and to have him sign that legislation into law. And that was a bill that was voted on five times, three times in the Senate, twice in the House. So you're looking at a total of each, you know, that's what, 535 potential votes. In five votes, not a single person ever voted against that bill, because I brought them to the table ahead of time. Plus, more importantly, I did it in a tripartisan way, and I brought students, parents, employers, people that sign the front of a paycheck, not the back of a paycheck, to the table, and we, that's how we wrote the bill in what I like to call a tripartisan way.
Congressman, I got a whole list of questions here.
Oh, there's nothing to talk about what's going on in the world.
Yeah, it's slow time these days.
We'll go from light to heavy, so to speak, all right? The whole milk bill I have on my list, all right? I've said on this program 100% for that bill. I don't know why we changed that whenever that was, 12 years ago or whatever it was.
Well, it's because they blamed whole milk with making kids fat. And you know the interesting part? The studies have all shown, what's that test? That BMI,
yeah.
BMI.
Body mass index, yeah.
I never do well on that test, by the way. I fail that one.
That's a word.
But
right.
The interesting thing is the average BMI has gone up since we eliminated whole milk as an option. Because kids are going to drink something and tends to be a sugary substitute. And most got natural sugars in it. You know, and our brain works off of sugar. Sugar is not a poison, by the way, despite what somebody might say. That's what it was. It was all really false information that it was making our kids obese, and that was why back in 2010 they eliminated it as an option in our schools.
So who would vote against your bill? I don't know. It's such a no-brainer.
Well,
who would vote against?
There's a few folks. Some folks that are who believe that it's healthier to drink nut juices. No such thing as almond milk. As much as I held an almond milk, I don't know where to squeeze it to get the milk.
I keep trying to milk. Yep, I have them at home, and I cannot get a drop out of them.
And I have nothing yet. I mean, I love my almond. As Ag the Chair of the Agriculture Committee, I love my almond farmers around the country. But it is a different beverage. So some people that would hang on to that. There's others, Jeff, that just wouldn't let go. Or Scott, I'm sorry, that they wouldn't let go of the fact that they passed this back in 2010. And so once you, they don't want to flip-flop, even though that they know that the science has changed. Now, it's a minority. We're winning this, right, in this vote. And then there's a third element of people that would injure kids and dairy farmers in rural communities in order to protect bureaucracy. You know, the Dietary Advisory Council, which has always been wrong. Every time they come out with a new recommendation, like these are the folks that went from the pyramid to the plate and telling you at one time they had eggs were going to kill you and red meat would kill you and sure too much sugar would kill you. And back in 2010, I guess it was dairy's turn that whole milk was going to kill you, make you fat. And you know what? And they're always wrong. There's always, and so that's the other thing we're going to do. We're going to reform that dairy advisory, dietary council process within the Farm Bill so it reflects facts, data, and real science.
They're wrong even more often than the CBO, I think. Close, maybe, but.
No, but they have more, but I think they are because they have more of an impact, right? They could ruin various aspects, and they have almost ruined various aspects of our agriculture industry. They're are consistent, though. They're consistently wrong with, you know, because it's just a handful of people. They're unelected bureaucrats. There's no accountability. And so I'm very pleased that we've overcome that on dairy, and I'm even more pleased that we're going to provide some reforms within my farm bill to really bring some integrity to that process.
All right. Now let's do a follow-up there. All right. Use the word reform. Every week we seem to see a story coming out now. Well, we need to reform this, and we need to reform the CDC and this group and that council you mentioned and so on. Is everything need reformed? I mean, is like Washington just totally broken? It's mind-boggling, all this stuff.
Yeah, you know what's broken is when we don't look at things with a reforming attitude. We should always be looking to reauthorize. And reauthorize really means to reform, to update, to modernize, to bring it up to the 21st century. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, when we're doing our jobs, we should all do that. I think in your personal lives, you should always be looking at what can you do better? What can you do more accurately? What can you do more successfully? That will bring more benefit. And you deserve, everybody deserves government that does that. And that's what we're doing. And it's a lot of work. It's some hard work. But you know what? You get paid to do the easy stuff and the hard stuff. And so I'm very pleased. On the agriculture side, that's part of what I'm leading. We are doing the most transformative farm bill in probably history. We're actually putting the farm back in the farm bill. I have some colleagues at Wine that I'm blowing up and breaking up the bipartisan coalition of, food and nutrition and agriculture. I got news for you. That got blown up a long time ago at the cost of the American farmer. That's why in a given farm bill, 80% of it is nutrition. And some of that has obviously over the years has come at the cost of compromising the safety net for our most essential industry, which is agriculture. So that got blown. It is definitely not a, let's put it in wrestling terms. That's like putting the heavyweight out with a 98 pounder. I'm showing my age. That was the weight that we wrestled. Okay.
Yes, back then.
And that's not a fair fight. You know, we've really done our due diligence and listening to the American people. That's why I've traveled around the country, 42 states, one territory. As I like to say, the territory is Puerto Rico. The only place I needed an interpreter was Mississippi, no, not true. I love my Mississippi farmers. They maybe need an interpreter to understand what I was saying. So reform should be, we always should be looking at how can we do things better.
And more efficiently. What I think Donald Trump and folks that have been elected are trying to do, they're saying blow up the system. I want to see the bureaucracy get blown up. And specifically, when I talk about the bureaucracy, and you talked about it, it's the unaccountable, my interpretation, but it is folks that get put in positions, they are assigned to positions, and they think... And in large part, they think they run the show because nobody has stopped them from running the show for decades. We see it at the state level. We see it at the federal level. And that is what has to change because they get into... and I don't even think it's necessarily a malicious intent, but you get comfortable. Just as you said, I think one of the things to bring back to wrestling again, but it's, Cale Sanderson and that staff could easily rest on their accolades at this point. Say, hey, we know what we're doing. Go out there and do what we've done. That is not what they do. They are, I can't tell you how on top of the latest information on sleep, the latest information on nutrition, the latest little tricks with, technical aspects of the game, all of that. They are constantly learning, constantly challenging themselves and the team. All right, let's see if we can add this to the overall repertoire. I just think we have too many people that got into positions, and it's like, all right, this is the way we do things, and I think they're lazy. I think they're mentally lazy.
Well, they're just comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and why would you want to upset? Sometimes it gets to the point where it is intentionally abusive, and it becomes a fiefdom, and you want to protect it. I think Cale's attitude, his team's attitude, his coaching staff, that's the attitude that we need in government at all levels.
Yes.
To challenge us, what can we do better today, and what can we do better for tomorrow? Always looking to what's over the horizon. And so I'm real excited. I was doing a speech out in Venango County. We were in, in Warren County. It was in Warren. And the speaker before me was just going on about Doge and that they had saved 100, they had found, waste, fraud, and abuse and inefficiencies, $170 billion. It was my turn to speak next, and I stood up and said, the Doge is a JV team. The Agriculture Committee has found $300 billion that we have put into the one big, beautiful bill of how we can improve things. And we did it without without really negative hurting anyone. We haven't been taking away any benefits. We just made for better delivery, more efficient. We did identify and take away waste, fraud, and abuse. And it wasn't just on the federal level. I mean, we addressed the state. I addressed states around the country. In the state of Pennsylvania, I'm very embarrassed. Under Governor Shapiro, our error rate for the administration of the SNAP program, the error rate is 17%. 17%. That hurts the taxpayers, but it also hurts the people living in poverty.
Yes.
That are depending on these benefits. And I'll share why real quickly. Number one, if you get an underpayment, you don't get it. Your EBT card isn't underpayment, so you don't have the supplemental resources. You know, SNAP doesn't provide all of your food, just a supplemental part. So you're missing out on a monthly basis. And you know what's even worse? If you get an overpayment, because if you get an overpayment, you're going to spend it in 1 month. I don't begrudge that. If I was on that program, and Penny and I actually were on the WIC program when we were first married, I get it. It is important when you're struggling financially. But if you get an overpayment, the states come back in 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, and they claw it all back. So that means you probably had 1 month where you had all these more groceries, so you're not sure what happened. And then 6 months from now, you have nothing, no supplemental support. And that might go for a couple months without any. So how we fix that? We put in, we're holding states accountable. I put into the bill a state share. They've never had skin in the game. And the old adage, if you're spending somebody else's money, you're reckless. Amen. And that's what the state of Pennsylvania has been doing. And we're putting accountability into this. So it's exciting to be a part of those reforms. And you know what? And I think Pennsylvania, I'm proud to be from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I think Pennsylvania will do much better in the future because, you know, we're setting the bar a little higher for them.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break right here. Yep. Local Congressman Glenn Thompson's our guest. Got him for an hour. Whoa. Before you hit the road for wherever you have to go today. So stay tuned. We've got lots more questions. Are you kidding? You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll do all of that when we come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Hey, you! Why aren't you helping hang this drywall?
Because I'm the plumber.
How am I supposed to know that?
See? It's right here on my shirt.
Oh, yeah. Now I see it. It's hard to tell who works for me and who doesn't.
I had that problem, too, until I had company shirts printed. Now, it's not a problem.
That's just what I need. Where did you get your shirts printed?
Pamp. They did a great job, and now I can spot my employees right away.
Hey, Joe!
What?
Call Pamp and get those shirts printed for the crew ASAP.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It is a Tuesday morning edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have some open phone time coming up in the 9 o'clock hour this morning.
Yes, we have to play commercials. We prefer to keep talking, but if we don't play commercials, yeah, the boss gets mad.
Yes, indeed.
So, talking with local Congressman Glenn Thompson this morning for the rest of the hour. All right, let's get to some of the so-called heavy stuff, I guess. All right, the Big Beautiful Bill. What a weird name. The Big Beautiful Bill. Congressman, all the stories that say if the Big Beautiful Bill gets passed, House, Senate, and I guess the Senate wants to do some things and so on before it would ever go to the president and so on, it's going to blow up the debt. It's going to poof. It's going to add way more debt, and that's what we're supposed to be against. What? How do you respond to that?
Well, and it's the one Big Beautiful Bill also, title.
Okay,
and that's what President Trump kept calling it. So that's, it is a little odd, but that's what we titled it officially. Now, as an aside, I call it Farm Bill 1.0 because I've got great Farm Bill investments in this that's going to be great for everybody that either produces food, processes agriculture commodities, or consumes food. There's a lot of that going on. Part of it is because President Trump wanted to be able to work without distraction for the next 3.5 years, a little over 3.5 years that he has, of a debt ceiling. And so he was the one that insisted that we put significant, historically high debt ceiling limit into this bill. I will say, though, and I understand why he wanted that. I don't think we would have done that otherwise. But that doesn't mean that we have to meet that debt ceiling. You know, it just pushes it out and avoids the distraction so that we can get the things done that actually brings down our debt, that brings down our spending, that makes us more accountable, that makes us more efficient, more productive. And so that's why why it's in there. It's kind of funny. I had that question last night in Snyder County.
Yep.
At a picnic that I was at. And it's a legitimate question, but it's in there because of President Trump, and I understand why he would like that. It is unusual, but it doesn't mean that we have to accrue that debt. You know, the CBO, you made reference to the Congressional Budget Office. You know, they predicted that this was going to increase the debt. I beg to differ. And it's based on experience. We saw the spending rate and the debt go down under Trump 45 for the first. Before the plague hit, before COVID, and Governor Wolf at that time shut down the Pennsylvania economy. So we know that these type of policies work financially for the nation and for the benefit of the citizens in terms of actually addressing the debt. And so government is becoming smaller. It's more efficient. This is preventing the largest tax increase in the history of the country. This is actually doing some really novel things when it comes to tax policy above and beyond. Let's just talk about existing tax policy. The fact that we're raising the threshold for the death tax. You know, 98% of family farms will be protected and avoid that death tax, which would cause their farm to go away because the next generation doesn't have the money to buy the family farm back from the federal government. That goes for small businesses and out there. No tax on tips. No tax on overtime. Talk about increasing productivity and we need workforce. And so if that incentivizes, someone to go out, I'm going out work because, my earnings from this point forward, I'm not going to have to pay federal tax on. That's a good thing. If you're a senior, the president made a promise for no tax on Social Security. I like that idea. But the fact is, Social Security is not eligible to put into budget reconciliation. It doesn't meet the Senate's rules. So the Ways and Means Committee did the next best thing. Instead of your age 64 and older, you will get an additional $4,000 deduction. That'll bring your taxable income down, so you're taxed at a lower income. And so you're still going to have to pay taxes on some Social Security. If we ever have 60 conservative-minded folks in the Senate, you could get that done. You can't get that done today. There's just no way to take that forward. So it really is a driver of the economy. This is going to put rocket fuel in a positive way to our economy. Everybody's going to benefit from that. And that's just a small portion of what's in that bill that is just so exciting. There's a whole lot more in there.
Now, are you actually cutting the federal budget? I mean, obviously, media is full of stories. Oh, they've slashed jobs here, they've slashed jobs there, and oh my gosh, and the world's going to end, and all this sort of stuff. Can you actually cut this thing? Like, actually cut spending and everything's okay?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is reducing the expenditures that we have. Now, we're never going to fully address the debt with discretionary spending, mostly because over 60% of spending in this country is mandatory spending. Now, we addressed a lot of mandatory spending in the budget reconciliation bill because that was the only type of spending that you could address. And there were some exclusions. The president won't do anything on Medicare, and Social Security wasn't eligible under this. And it is. And then we're doing different things. In addition to that, we're not stopping. This past week we did a rescission bill. And it was the president and his team provided us recommendations of things to just absolutely cut. There are some things that were zeroed out and other things that were reduced by a significant, portion. It was just a small part, but it was $9 billion. That passed the House. That was the last thing we passed before we came home on Friday. And it'll be the first of many rescission bills that this administration brings forward. And by rescission, I mean this was approved to be spent before. It hasn't been spent yet. and now it's gone. And now, so that's just in the House. We're sending that to the Senate, and the Senate will be working on this. Senator Thune from South Dakota, good guy. He's now the majority leader. It was a little disappointing. I always feel that we can walk and chew gum at the same time, but because of the one big beautiful bill that they're working on right now, and by the way, they protected all my agriculture investments on the Senate side. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, that's great.
These are things that we have been cutting for years, and if we risk food insecurity, we risk economic insecurity in rural America, and that's national insecurity. But Senator Thune has said, because of the one big beautiful bill, they're not going to get around to like maybe the end of July or later on this rescission bill. I said, no, do this now. Work with purpose. And I will say they are in this week. The Senate, where we're working our districts back here, the Senate is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I believe they're in Washington and working on the things that they need to do.
Do you think this can get passed by July 4th?
I think so. I think it'd be a great way to celebrate our independence in so many different ways going forward. That is the goal. There's a lot of naysayers. Everybody said, well, the House isn't going to be able to do this. It's never going to happen. Well, we proved them wrong, and we got our work done. We sent it over to the Senate. The Senate's going to make some adjustments on it. One of the things on the agriculture title, which I wrote, that they didn't change any of the benefits for the investment side. They did on the state share. They did take it down to if a state's able to get their error rate under 6% for SNAP, there would be a 0% state cost share. I can live with that. And then it steps up from there. If your error rate goes up, you're gonna have a penalty. 5, 10, 15, 20% penalty depending on your, so the, it's a stick and a carrot. And it's an incentive, for the states to do a better job of administering. I have no objections to what the Senate changed. They hadn't felt like they had to do that, and I think it'll be okay.
All right, selfish question of sorts. All right, that $9 billion cut you talked about like a couple minutes ago, public media funding is in that, right? That's part of that $9 billion?
National Public Radio, who was formed back when we had very few radio stations. Today we have over 15,000 radio stations in this nation, including this great radio station. It isn't going to have a negative impact on WPSU. They actually run their station the way they should. I know they don't call it advertising. They call it sponsorships. And Penn State has told me, well, this really isn't going to affect us. But there are stations it will impact. And it's like, we do have over 15,000 radio stations in this nation. It is a different time. It was time to reevaluate that. I was not offended by also, and I have these discussions with my friends at WPSU. National Public Radio has such a far left slant when it comes to politics. There's sometimes I want to just drive off the road with some of the things I hear them say, the names that they talk about, conservatives, which is, quite frankly, 80% of my constituents that they're calling names, including myself. So this is not defunding WPSU, obviously. This is National Public Radio, and it's long overdue the time to do this.
But I've mentioned this a bunch of times here. If NPR, which is radio, and PBS, which is television, their news reporting, if they would agree that, okay, yeah, we're left, we need to be much more balanced, we'll start to do that now. If they said they would do that, is it possible that that funding would be restarted?
I hope not. I mean, they were started at a time when it was a righteous cause, when we, especially in rural America, we just didn't have that kind of news outreach. Growing up, living in a trailer for the first 11 years, 12 years of my life in a with an antenna on it, you know, the public television was one of two channels that we actually got, right? Well, this is a different day today. It's a different age for technology, especially now that we have internet-based media. You know, there's just some things that are... they're just not necessary. Certainly not necessary for the federal taxpayer to subsidize.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even I take the politics out of it. We're at a point where, again, if it is, you know, they'll point to Sesame Street or this program or that program. It's like, yeah, that it's no question, great programming. Go out and get the advertising because you're saying all these people love it, and they do.
Yeah.
Well, go get the support the way every other radio and TV station does.
And they're doing that today. They just don't call it advertising. They call
it
sponsorship.
Underwriting and
Or underwriting, I guess, is the term. I support that. I mean,
absolutely.
There are certain programs I'd underwrite. I resisted forever that Downton Abbey program until my wife made me sit down and watch it, and then we were hooked. You know, and we
is part of what is happening. I think we talked about this a little bit last time, but it seems like, and I know you can get into some treacherous territory here, and I've read some different articles, and I think with some valid concerns on private-public partnerships. But it does seem like at a time where we are pretty much up against it, when you're talking about the debt and the deficit spending and all of that, where, and again, we have a lot of really innovative private sector folks who can, and obviously most famously now, I guess, Elon Musk, but I mean, there are a lot of people doing a lot of really good things that, yeah, maybe a little federal support here, but then, man, a lot of help back on the backside from the private entities. Would you like to see more of that, I guess, where it's we have joint ventures and it's not, all right, yes, the government has to fund this and that. Yeah. It's like, well, let's see if we can get some funding from other places and maybe make the benefit a little more widespread as well.
You know, Jeff, absolutely. In fact, I've been on the cutting edge of that. The piece of legislation that actually President Biden signed, that was mine, he signed it his first December in office, and sadly his administration never got around to maybe it's because it was a public-private partnership, they never got around to writing the rules for implementing it. It's called the Sustains Act.
And do we know if he actually signed it? Sorry, that's...
no, that's a whole different topic.
Yes. Sorry, go ahead. I'm
borders on treason when you have somebody that's with the nuclear codes that... that sadly was not mentally competent for at least part of his term. Well, it's called the Sustains Act, and it's conservation. I wrote that bill, and we worked hard. We again, it became law, and it created a public-private partnership when it comes to conservation. And conservation is really important, right? It helps provides tools for farmers to deal with overregulation, ways to keep their soils healthy, which increases productivity and yields. But it also is great for game. You know, creates habitats, so birds and mammals. Sportsmen love it. Ducks Unlimited and groups like that. The Ruffalo Grouse Society. I mean, all those groups. Everybody loves it. And so, the Sustains Act really creates this to where private individuals, corporations, can write checks to USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and all that money has to be used for conservation programs on the ground. And so now that I've got a new Secretary of Agriculture, who's a great partner of mine, Brooke Rollins, I am absolutely confident that they're going to get this up and running. You wouldn't believe some of the corporations have been knocking on my door in the Ag Committee wanting to know, when can we write the checks? Because we want to get our climate credentials, because, you know, conservation helps that, right? It's, you know, agriculture is the climate champion in terms of taking carbon out of the air, making topsoils, so sequestration. And but that was something I've created, and I'm real excited about it. But we have other ones that are out there, too, within my jurisdiction. I just met recently with the Forest Foundation. That was created before my time, but it is a great public-private partnership, and its individuals are really concerned about a healthy forest, and that means ones where we're actually cutting trees down and planting new trees. Why would we want multiple generations of trees? Why? I just challenge anybody to ever raise a teenager. You know, how much food does a teenager eat? Well, that trees are the same way. There are certain ages of these trees that they suck much more carbon out of the air. And so to have a healthy forest and a healthy economy, you need to do good forest management. Well, this is a public-private partnership that helps to promote that above and beyond, supplements what a small part of what the National Forest Service does. And so those are two great examples of public-private partnerships. Another one I throw in there for our area, because my district has more abandoned mine sites than the other 434 districts added together. And I'm proud of that fact, because we provided the coal to fuel the Industrial Revolution and provide for the arsenal of democracy to win two world wars. But we're left with the scars because the federal government said don't reclaim them because we don't know when World War III is coming. And so when you do a abandoned mine reclamation, I think that it's like $10 comes from the private sector and non-governmental agencies, watershed associations. For every dollar the federal government invests, there's $10 that comes to the table. That's another great example, maybe not as formally organized, but another great example of a public-private partnership.
I don't think I knew about that one. That's
pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very
good. And you wind up with you know, taking water and land that's scarred, and you can turn it into just economic opportunity, habitat. They usually replant those working with sportsman's group. You know, what do you want to promote? Turkeys, elk, deer, you know, grouse, whatever it might be.
Turkeys, elk, and beer? That's a great mix.
That's not a bad mix.
I like that.
I actually said deer, but that's okay.
Yeah. All right, let's take our break here. I'm going to fascinate on turkey, elk, and beer.
Uh-huh.
Just all in one meal, all right? We're talking with local Congressman Glenn Thompson. We'll take a break because we have to. We have one more segment with the congressman. Plenty of questions. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox. Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7.
Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
98.7
The Fox. Would encourage everybody on this Tuesday morning to enjoy a little funky cold Medina. Good way to get the day started.
Did you bring the drink in?
Well, I just finished it up, actually.
Yeah, I was gonna say, there it goes.
Medicinal purposes only, ladies and gentlemen. It is Jeff and Scott. Let's talk on a Tuesday morning. Some open phone time coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
All right, we got a few more minutes with our guest, local Congressman Glenn Thompson. All right, now we were talking about budget and cutting and all this stuff. You mentioned earlier Social Security, gigantic. You mentioned Medicare. All right, Medicaid is getting lots of attention. And all right, I've got a headline right here from our friends from Spotlight PA. Federal budget bill could strip 300,000 Pennsylvanians of Medicare or Medicaid coverage, push rural hospitals to the brink. Now, you used to work in healthcare.
That's right.
Well, how do you is that accurate?
The first part is people coming off of Medicaid, but only because they now have jobs. One of my principles that I followed with the One Big Beautiful Bill, and specifically Medicaid, not my jurisdiction, that is Energy and Commerce, is that if you can work, you should work. And if you can work, we need you to work as a nation. And so a significant number of those individuals fall into two categories. Really, they're people that, for the first time ever, they'll have work requirements, just like we have since 1977 under Nutrition and the Agriculture Committee. And so some of those, a large portion of those folks will be coming off. Because we're going to provide them an opportunity for education, career and technical education, and it might be apprenticeship, it might be on the job training, which by the way they would be paid to do, because if they're capable of working, they don't have a disability that prevents them from working, and they're between the ages of 18 and 64. They need to be working. We want them to work, and that's a better lifestyle for them than living in poverty, because being on Medicaid, if you're disabled and on Medicaid, nothing's going to change for you. If you're a child on Medicaid, nothing's going to change for you. If you're a senior citizen and on Medicaid, nothing's going to change for you. But that number, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but a significant portion of those are will come off of Medicaid because, you know what, they're going to have a job with better medical coverage. And then the other part, there will be some folks who just, you know what, they're going to refuse the opportunity to do one of three things, because these are the three things we do in ag, and they've replicated with Medicaid. An average of 80 hours a month, okay, so say 20 hours a week, but it could be, as long as you get 80 hours a month average of working, and a lot of people on Medicaid are the working poor, especially in Center County. Center County has the lowest unemployment, but they have the highest underemployment, and it's because of our restaurants and our hotels and the hospitality industry for the most part. Mm-hmm. So 20 hours of work, and again, a lot of the folks in Center County on Medicaid will, because of their income, aren't going to lose their Medicaid. 20 hours of of my all-time favorite, which is engaged in employment and career and technical education. And we pay for that. And in fact, the states have resources to be able to, if there's extenuating circumstances, you just can't find child care or something like that, the states will have a waiver ability to waive that requirement. I hope they don't. The states also have the ability to provide for child care and transportation. That's what they really need, because, you know, these folks need, you know, we want them to be able to find greater opportunity, right? And the third one, believe it or not, if there are not enough job opportunities, which is not the case today, 9 million jobs available across the country, you could do 80 hours average volunteer work. Since you're out there, you're networking, maybe you'll find yourself a job through that volunteer work. And so it's a pretty deceitful headline. The headline shouldn't say, if you're able to work, you should be working.
All right. The Israel-Iran war, and it's a war. They're shooting back and forth at each other every day now. What's your opinion on that? Should the U.S. somehow get more involved?
I don't think we need to. I just stay out of Israel's way. Israel, my impression is, this one's for keeps. Israel is well on its way to devastating Iran's nuclear capabilities. If you did a survey of all of Iran's neighbors, they're all pretty happy with this. They don't want a nuclear weaponized Iran. And it's not the people of Iran. I feel for them. I think if you surveyed those folks, they're pretty happy with this, other than, you know, because Israel's being really careful targeting facilities, military facilities, nuclear development facilities. This is not a good time to be a nuclear scientist and live in Iran.
No doubt.
Because you've got a target on your back. Iran, though, is shooting ballistic missiles into residential neighborhoods and apartment buildings. It just shows you how evil they are. We know that Iran has been funding their proxies, the Houthis and others around the world, that really have cost us American lives, because they've been shooting missiles at our ships and our bases, killing American soldiers now for a couple years. Israel is in this war to finish it.
Are you as impressed as I am with just how effective out of the gate this attack has been? I mean, it is remarkable, the intel that they obviously were able to get and the inside relationships that they somehow formed to be able to pull this off. Gathering the group together that they did, let's get together, we gotta all get together. They get them all together and boom, take them out. I mean, I feel like history books are going to be written in the future about just how amazing this operation
is. Yeah, the intel, the planning, and the execution, right?
Fantastic.
I mean, they got vehicles into Iran. They had a significant number of, I don't know how many drones that were in Iran.
Yep.
The amount of time that this took, I think you're right. They'll be, at the very minimum, they'll be teaching this in Carlisle,
yeah,
at our war college,
yeah,
for the future. In terms of the application of technology that was utilized, and I think I'm really proud of the fact. I mean, war is awful, and there's always, you know, always innocence that, but boy, it has been minimized in Iran. And I think that's one of the reasons where, at least based on what I'm hearing, you know, the populace of Iran is really in favor of this. I thought it was interesting. I can't deny or confirm, quite frankly, that, you know, I know that President Trump would have been asked by Bibi Netanyahu, who I've met with personally in the past, on whether to obviously go ahead with the execution, and obviously the President Trump didn't get in the way of that. I think it's probably true. I don't know. You know, that he also vetoed taking out the religious leader.
Yeah.
That would be a situation where, you take out one individual and three more rise up. We've seen that in recent decades with the conflicts that we've been in. And so, I think I saw some reports about how Iran was looking to President Trump as a decisive leader to provide some intervention.
All right.
Which is he's the guy that Iran has had a contract out on.
Oh yeah.
For 10 years to try to assassinate.
This situation in Minnesota with this person going and shooting and killing a state legislator and her husband and shooting another person and his wife and apparently went to two other elected officials' homes that night or whatever.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
This is scary stuff. Do you want to wipe your home address from the records? Because this is bizarre. What do you think about this?
Well, it is. It's absolutely frightening, actually. I mean, this is an individual that, it's going to be interesting to see what the profile is altogether. This is a guy, actually was appointed to, I think, the State Workforce Investment Board by a previous Minnesota governor and reappointed by Governor Waltz. Talk about planning. The vehicle that he replicated into a police
looked like a police
SUV
car. Yeah.
He had the whole No King flyers in the back of his car, and supposedly, I don't know, we'll see. This former Speaker of the House, the woman's representative that was murdered, that died, and her husband, she and the state senator had voted against providing something for illegal immigrants in Minnesota. Both Democrats it's scary. It really is. I had a monthly conference call with my district staff yesterday, and one thing I just shared with them is I want them to be safe, because you just don't know in this day and age. I get concerned for my staff, certainly for if I'm out at a public event that's advertised, and it's probably best not to do that, not to advertise. I'm still meeting with folks. I'm a road warrior, but best not to broadly advertise it, because I'm concerned for my constituents. We saw that with Gabby Gifford in Tucson, where she was at a hall and it didn't plan well. There was a blocked entrance it's some concerning times right now. There's no doubt about it. I mean, serving in public service, which has always been an honor, just a real honor to be able to do, and I'm looking forward to continuing it while I'm obviously making a difference. But it does come with risk.
Mr. Ironhead, you got anything? Because we're out of time.
I see that. No, thank you so much for the time. And it is concerning times, but also very exciting
times. Very exciting times, that's right.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Well, Jeff Scott, thank you both so much for the opportunities to be able to come in and spend some time with you. I look forward to coming back. Let me know when.
Absolutely.
We wrestling season.
There you go. It's coming fast.
He wants to do adult wrestling.
I said I'd be winded after about 20 seconds.
All right. Well, hey, safe travels, and thanks for coming in.
No, my pleasure. Thanks so
much. Appreciate it.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Yes, we have our sports segment like we always do, and some of your comments. All right, we'll take some calls. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
98.7 The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from Pamp.
What's the name of Yun's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember Pamp for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. Pamp has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream, just down the street from Beaver Stadium in the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy Knowledge.
Let's talk here on a Tuesday morning. Some open phone time here. Jeff and Scott with you. We will take a check of sports. You know, we normally do it in the second segment of the first hour. We'll do it in the second segment of hour two this morning. Our thanks to GT, Glenn Thompson, for stopping in and updating us on a lot going on. Boy, I am hopeful that they do get this thing passed by Independence Day, and we have additional reasons to celebrate here in the dear old U.S. of A.
I mean, I just reached out to him yesterday because, I mean, you can go online. There's a number of places where you just put, like, House of Representatives schedule, all right? And a bunch of things come popping up on the screen. I checked out one. I'm like, oh, they're not in session this week. I didn't realize that. So I reached out to him yesterday. He got right back to me. He's like, how about tomorrow morning?
Fantastic.
Okay.
Nah, he is just a good guy and very sharp, and I think has a very good handle on the direction we need to get moving here. And I think he's helping
get us pushed in that direction.
Now, if somehow you missed it, number one, again, shame on you. All right, come on, really? What were you listening to last hour? That's silly. The good news is 987thefox.info, our website. I would say give me a little time after the show's over, but by 11 o'clock we'll have that interview posted, and if you want to listen to it again, you can. If you were listening, good for you. All right.
That away, that away.
And you have thoughts, yay or nay, all right, either direction, 814-954-7266. You can call in right now if you like. 814-954-7266. I think if I had to pick a word, I mean, we covered a lot of different things there in that one-hour interview. It's the word change. These folks, Republicans, conservatives, not all, but mostly, they want to change things. And so we have DOGE, we have efficiency. I've heard that word more this year than probably the last 20 years combined as far as the federal government's concerned. How do we make a more efficient federal government? I've seen, now this is an opinion, all right? I've said this before. I think every government department, every government agency, every government office, every government initiative has waste in it. I think they all do. It's been baked in. That's an opinion. So how do we get rid of that? So I mentioned that Medicaid headline, and there's a bunch of stories along that same vein, not just one. There's a whole bunch of them that have been floating around for days and weeks. That these are Medicaid cuts, people are going to suffer, hospitals are going to close, you know, doom and gloom, doom and gloom, doom and gloom. Well, how much of Medicaid is actually waste? And the congressman kind of touched on some of that. If there are some people out there, you are able to work, all right, you don't have a disability, you don't have a special situation, you know, nothing like that. If you are able to work and there are jobs out there that you can go get, then you should go do that. And so maybe you don't need Medicaid. You don't really qualify for that. That would be, now, I don't know, is that waste or am I being harsh? Some folks would say, well, that's waste. If somebody can go get a job and make money so that they're not on the federal dole, that's supposed to be a good thing. Yes? I mean, apparently there are some people out there that would say no. No, that's bad, bad, bad. Which, come on, federal government spends too much money. We've got to cut somewhere. No, we don't want to hurt people, but there's waste. I'm certain of it. There's waste all over the place. What was the statistic the congressman had that in Pennsylvania, SNAP benefits, which is like food stamps, except it's not stamps anymore.
Yeah.
SNAP benefit waste was like, what did he say, 17%?
Yeah.
Folks, that's unbelievable. 17%, that's a lot. All right, now, again, Harrisburg, whatever, they can complain all they want, but if that's accurate, that 17% figure, number one, we need to get rid of the 17% figure. Number two, we need to figure out, okay, how did this happen, and so on. And then number three, how do we proactively change it so it doesn't happen again? I don't know, am I crazy? You tell me, am I nuts? That doesn't seem, now, there's short-term and there's long-term. We live in a short-term way of thinking these days, don't we? We want answers. We want them now. Boom, boom, boom. We want action now. Boom, done. Where in reality, you start something, and in the long term, you achieve your goal. This seems like a long-term thinking in a short-term world. I don't know. Am I misreading this? We live in a short-term world. It's going to take long-term thinking, though, to ultimately get to where we need to go or where we want to go. So the problem is everybody's thinking short-term, short-term. We need answers now. We don't have answers now. What's the matter with you? That's wrong. That's going to blow things up. That's terrible. Where over a period of probably years, okay, we're going to get to where we need to be.
But this is where it is. It really is, and this is politics are going to come into it because it's inevitable, but it is going to take a sustained effort. So what I think a lot of people right now bureaucrats in D.C. are trying to do is, all right, we'll just wait this out. It's going to be 4 years of difficulty, and then we get Trump out of there, and then we'll be able to get back to life as the this is normal chance from Saturday's No King rally. I understand what they're saying. I also think a lot of them come across as not normal themselves. That's neither here nor there. If by normal you mean we want things to be the way they've been, and let's not rock the boat. No. No, then I do not want normal. Not when it comes to our government and the way we are spending, i.e. wasting, taxpayer money. It needs to stop. And what I think the concern for some of us on the right side of the aisle is that, all right, Trump, I think, is going to be very effective for the time he is in here. I think he has the long-term vision, and I think if conservatives, true conservatives, can retain some power here for an 8-12 year period, that I think there really is a good chance of getting some long-lasting, real needed reform. The concern, again, to me, is, all right, we get 4 years of really effective, yep, we cut some waste, we get things heading in the right direction, and then boom. We reverse everything back the other way, and we keep going. It has been a yo-yo. It was way far to the left under Biden or whoever was running the Biden regime, and now it is, in my mind, a good thing. We're breaking things up, but if it gets yanked back the other way again in 4 years, and, you know, I was watching I like just seeing different perspectives here, so I'm flipping back and forth between some of the news channels and just taking in their coverage of the weekend events in particular. And the one thing that I do think is accurate, and it was discussions on all of the channels about how uncertain times we're in, both with the wars that have broken out internationally, but also with the tariffs and the tax cuts and the big beautiful bill and all of this stuff. One of the things that is really difficult long-term projecting is we don't know, all right, who's going to be the leader. We know or think we know who is going to be there for the next 3 years and the general leadership from the executive branch. But we have another big midterm coming up in a year, and then we have the possibility that, again, all of this work that's being done with DOGE and everything else, regardless of whether you think it's the best thing ever, the worst thing ever, well, then if it gets yanked back the other way, again, dealing with our government for us, the taxpayers, and for foreign leaders, it's difficult because you're like, all right, well, what's going to happen? We know maybe a general direction, it seems. We're heading for 4 years, but what happens in the next 4 years? And, you know, that is the challenge with the form of government we have, and in particular with the term, and I'm not advocating to get rid of the term limitations, don't misunderstand here, but it does make it challenging in terms of trying to make long-term strategies when there is the changeover we have, especially at the top.
Yeah. Now, again, part of this dust-up on Saturday with this Army parade, amazingly, it was Donald Trump's birthday. Of 365 days in the year, it has to be that day. Ugh. So a lot of the protester folks, you know, oh, this is Trump's personal parade. Maybe it was. All right, maybe.
Hard to make that argument if you listen to his speech, though. That's hard to make
a compelling argument.
Okay,
there.
All right, I'll go for that. The congressman, I mean, had a comment. You know, the big one, big I love that name. One big beautiful bill. Got a lot of alliteration going on there. BBB. It is a long-term plan in a short-term world. If you look past, or if you look at past presidents and congresses, they want stuff, okay, right now, that sort of thing, and spending like drunken sailors, that old line. It does, you can agree or disagree with the big, beautiful bill. It's a long-term plan. Now, some people may not like a long-term plan because if it goes against their personal interests, whoops, that could make things more difficult for them. So instead of just shifting and changing, no, it's like, no, we want back what's ours. Well, what's theirs? Yeah, okay. So it's a long-term plan. So I keep seeing these short-term stories, and I keep thinking, all right, this is a long-term plan. Where are we going to be a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now? Now, in reality, nobody knows. I mean, projections are
yes,
notoriously wrong. Congressman mentioned that, you know, and I was in full agreement with him.
Yep.
When he was talking about some of these predictions, they're just wrong.
Well, even some of these short-term predictions have been wrong.
Just
in the what was predicted over the last 2 months, it's like, okay, well, that didn't happen. Well, that didn't happen. Oh, yeah, but we know this is going to happen. I don't
no.
think you do, because you keep getting it wrong. And it is one of the challenges I think that we, the people, have where do you go? Like, you would like to trust, and I can't, well, it's a nonpartisan CBO. Okay, I don't care whether it's partisan or not. I care whether or not they're accurate. I don't care if you're 100% left. If you're giving me accurate information and you're like, yeah, this is what's going to happen over the next year, and then that's what happens over the next year, it's just like if you're, I might not like the personality of a stock advisor, but man, if they are hitting this stock I think is going to go up by 20% over the next year, and this one over here is going to go up 50%, but I'd sell this one because this is going to go down 20%, and over the next year, those three things happen. It's like, well, that person seems to know what they're talking about. What we keep doing, though, is we're looking at people that, well, we're nonpartisan, and this is what we project, and then you look a year out, and it's like, well, I don't care whether you're nonpartisan, you got it dead wrong.
Yeah.
That it's not helpful. I care more about whether or not you are getting it right than whether there's a slant one way or the other. I don't care if you're a huge Cowboys fan, if you're giving me right information on the point spreads. And we just seem to generally be very forgiving for some reason of government entities that keep getting it wrong. You go back to the COVID, and again, my great frustration, and I was saying it at the time, we can go back and somewhere somebody may have tapes. I don't think I kept any of the recordings. I might be wrong about that. But what was driving me crazy was the people coming out and, all right, we know this will prevent, you take this vaccine and it will prevent the spread of this. And I'm saying, well, there's no way we could possibly know that. This hasn't been out on the market long enough. It's impossible to know that. And it turned out to be completely 100% false and inaccurate. But my question at the time was, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe this will turn out to be the case, but you can't possibly know that right now. There's no way to definitively know that, and they were presenting it as, no, we absolutely know this. And you had people in the media, but also in government saying, nope, that absolutely, you get this, and it will just prevent the spread. And so you had people dutifully, well, my gosh, if the, well, now we, I mean, it has been proven, nope, dead wrong. And the problem is, when you do that enough, it's just like the climate change folks. It's, man, Al Gore, New York City is going to be completely underwater in 2010. Nope, not even close. Well, but now we've got a real crisis by 2020. Nope, wrong again. Like, at what point do the people, even the people that are inclined to believe this stuff, say, wait a second. You keep telling us stuff that doesn't pan out. I'm going to stop believing you. And the problem is, you have this happen enough, and this has happened now, I think, to a large segment of our society. Now, there's a segment that's still, no, by God, the CBO says this is going to add to the deficit. It's going to add to the... okay. I mean, you're certainly welcome to... Oh, the CBO wouldn't lie. I mean, yeah, they've been wrong every time over the last decade, but this time I think they're going to get it right. Why would you think that? But the problem is... when we keep getting wrong information being presented as, nope, this is definitive facts. There is climate change because of man-made gasoline-fueled engines. We are seeing the end of the planet as we know it. No, we're not. Anybody paying attention? But now we have, there is a segment of society that is absolutely petrified. I'm watching some of the rallies on Saturday. There was a woman, and I think she was genuine. She was crying. I mean, literally crying. I am so fearful. I'm so scared of these times and what Donald Trump is going to do. He's killing Americans. Guys, please, just step back for a moment and think about what you're being told. And this has been done for decades. I mean, the ads against Donald, yeah. Ronald Reagan, where he's pushing the elderly off the cliffs. It's like, come on. Like, at some point, like, you have to wake up and say, wait, no, that didn't actually happen, did it? Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
You know I had a call. Jeff, a great analysis. And here's what I say when people get awakened. I don't say, well, the other ones are stupid. It's just cognitive dissonance. It's brainwashing from zero to six. Fortunately, by the time I was in first grade, I knew everyone was full of crap. And
By the way, when I was in first grade, I knew they were full of crap.
That is where I was going with this. It would be one thing if the CBO comes out and says, we think this is what could happen. So, okay, I mean, that's reasonable. When you come out and say, nope, this is what's going to happen, and then you're wrong, then that is what leads to, if during COVID, and that's what I was saying on the, like, just say that this is what you think, this is what you're hoping, or whatever. Quit presenting it as though this is a fact when it can't possibly be a fact. We don't know the long-term implications of taking this vaccine. There's no way we could. It was just developed in the last couple of months. You couldn't possibly know for certain the long-term impacts of this vaccine. It's just not possible. But it was being presented. No, we know this is completely safe, and we know this will do this and that. And it's like, you couldn't, instead, if they had just come out and said, we are really hopeful, early indications are, we think this will, man, fine, do that. Be honest. There's, obviously, we can't know for sure, and allow people to make decisions for themselves. This is the information. We really think this is going to be effective. We really think there's not long-term effects or very, very few concerns about it. Fine. That would be perfectly fine. But they keep presenting stuff as though they know it. It's a fact. Man-made global warming, it is killing. No. No, you can present a theory. You can say this is what you think is happening. But when you start presenting stuff as facts that aren't facts, and then it gets proven time and time again, you were wrong there. You were wrong again. look at that. You missed the mark yet again. Like, at some point, we have to say, excuse me, I don't trust when you're telling me now that you know something else. And that is, it's not a comfortable place to be, because it's very hard to find places that are willing to be truly honest with you about what a given set of circumstances is presenting.
All right, caller, final thought. We have to take a break. Go ahead.
You hit the nail on the head, and I know Scott's not going to like this, but, you know, it comes down to a vested interest. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, and a lot of people actually believe it because they believe it because of their brainwashing of them and their grandparents and their parents. I detected the baloney actually in kindergarten, and questioning my parents, they couldn't come up with an answer as why there was nap time, why I had to go to a certain school. They couldn't answer these questions. I know people in authority were just, they were garbage. They were liars for their own ends. But I can tell you this. It goes back to, and I'm a student of history, the Declaration of Independence and the founding of the Republic. And they've wanted it back ever since. Trust me. They implemented, and I call them the occupiers, the illusion of justice, the illusion of liberty, the illusion of choice, the illusion of freedom. These are all illusions that I call the occupiers of Europe have implemented, and they established it in 1913. You notice all the major wars happened with the bankers, but it's because of their vested interest. And what they do is they give you just enough information to run the equipment, but not enough to protest. You know, this is what you're trained to do. Mommy and daddy give you a bottle. They give you a birth certificate, which, by the way, they use that birth certificate as an asset to borrow from the Federal Reserve. I don't know if anybody knows that. Then they put you on a little bus. They put you in a cubicle. I call it a Bolshevik building. And they force this stuff into your head without reason, logic, and common sense. And then you go to college, same thing. And then you get out, you get married and get a 30-year mortgage, you sit behind a cubicle. And then they feed you just enough poison in your food so that by the time my dad at 63 died. So you're never able to collect what they pulled out of your paycheck, which, by the way, is not a Social Security program. It's FICA. It's another income tax and gets collected as an entitlement. So the problem is the lack of education. A lot of these people in the media, Scott and Jeff, don't know what they're talking about. They only know what they think they know because they're uneducated. They're not objectivists. So the key to solving this is education. You got to go back to the beginning and say, do you choose liberty or slavery? Are you a European under the guise of a king and a subject? They're a subject to the crown, or are you a free man, a free person? And freedom comes with a lot of responsibility. Kid, trust me, it comes with a responsibility of self-government, which is tough. So as a republic, we have to make these choices for our children and say, this is the truth. And what is the truth? We know what the truth is. We all know what the truth is, right, guys? You know what's right and wrong. We know what the truth is. When anyone tries to take your money and redistribute your wealth, that is robbery. Even under the guise of government, government that governs least governs best. And I can tell you all this stems from they want their country back. They're still, you know, we're still paying under Title 26 a tithing to the British for the Revolutionary War, which was a tie. We didn't win it. It was a tie. And look up 1812, why they attacked us again in 1812. We've been at war since 1776. And these lies benefit the worldwide, I call them the occupiers. It's about money and power and keeping you in place, Jeff, and you in place, Scott, and me in place. We step out of line, we will feel their wrath. Hmm. Actually, if you remember, that was told to Trump. He said, let me tell you, they can get you five ways to Sunday, Trump. You should shake in your boots knowing that the system can take you down for demanding liberty. All right, guys. Great.
Well, show. The system does not like, just in general, we saw it with Barry Fenchak voted off of the Penn State Board of Trustees yesterday. They do not like people questioning. You're absolutely right about that. It's, excuse me, could I see where the money is being spent here? How dare you, as a member of the Board of Trustees, think you have, while we require you to have fiduciary responsibility, you think you have the right to look at the books? Off with you! Are you serious right now? And yes, we are serious.
Let's get this break
in
here.
This is the problem. with bureaucracies. Critical thinking, not welcomed. And disruption, change, real change, not welcomed. What is welcomed is a commercial break. We're coming right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox.
It pays to listen to Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Just ask Scott Burkett of Belfont. Scott won a beautiful hot springs hot tub from Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall during the 36th annual historic Belfont cruise. AJ Roberts asked Scott what he's going to do with his new summer toy.
I'm going to hook it up and I'm going to invite some friends.
All right, it's nice being a good friend, right?
That's it. I've already invited the owners to come on over. I will supply them with some adult beverages.
We want to thank all our great sponsors of Summer Splash. Fisher's Market, located at the Y in Milesburg. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Maxwell Equipment, located on Shiloh Road in State College. Pam, located at 136 Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap. And Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Be listening for your next opportunity of winning.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Stay big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the spring sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let's talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. And it is time, finally, a long-anticipated check of sports. Penn State Wrestling announcing its home and away Big Ten opponents for the upcoming season. The Nittany Lions will have home matches against Indiana, Nebraska, Ohio State, and Rutgers. Penn State will have away matches with Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, and Northwestern. Penn State, of course, coming off a fourth consecutive national championship season, and the Nittany Lions also once again undefeated this past year. Nittany Lions did lose three starters from last year's squad, but I just checked the cupboard. It does not look bare for Kale Sanderson's squad next season. Class of 2026, four-star edge rusher Elijah Littlejohn is the latest commitment to Penn State football. Onward State reporting the Charlotte, North Carolina native is 6 feet 2 inches tall, 205 pounds. He is rated as the 19th best player in North Carolina and the 36th best edge rusher in the country in the class of 2026. He is also rated as the overall 378th best player, according to the 247 Sports Composite Rankings.
You say so.
I like getting into those numbers. Folks, Penn State football, you've got to feed the beast. And they are continuing to eat well on the recruiting trail. You can feed your beast by stopping on in at the Center Hall Farm Store, 110 Allison Street in Center Hall, whether your beast is a pig, a cow, a horse, a dog or a cat, chickens, or those outdoor birds. The Center Hall Farm Store can help you feed the beast and can also help keep your orchards and gardens growing strong throughout the summer months. Again, stop on in the Center Hall Farm Store at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. If you stop in around 11 or so this morning, say howdy to me.
Oh,
I'll be okay. Stopping in.
There you go.
And we welcome you there. You can also find them on the World Wide Web at CenterHallFarmStore.com. And, of course, that is Center, the way Center County residents spell it, C-E-N-T-R-E, because we got to be different. Again, Penn State getting a commitment from the edge rusher, Elijah Littlejohn. He had 57 solo tackles, 27 assisted tackles, and 26 tackles for a loss last season. Also had a couple of deflected passes and 24 quarterback hurries for West Mecklenburg High School in North Carolina last season. He is the only edge rusher committed to the incoming class of 2026, which, by the way, currently ranks seventh nationally. But that class includes several linebackers, including Terry Wiggins and Matthew Lama. Three Penn State baseball players are ready to compete at the Major League Baseball Draft Combine, which is being held at Chase Field in Arizona today through Saturday. Junior pitcher Ryan DeSanto, junior outfielder Paxton Kling, and junior shortstop Ryan Weingartner all earning invitations to the Combine. Only Penn State and Oregon have three invitees from the Big Ten. Meanwhile, the Nittany Lions picking up a couple of transfer portal infielders. Onward State reporting that Spencer Barnett will join the Nittany Lions from West Virginia. The junior made that announcement, junior-to-be, made that announcement last week. He hails from Pittsburgh, batted .274 with 47 RBI in two seasons with the Mountaineers. And Jaden Davis will join Penn State from Vanderbilt. Davis will be a senior. He is coming off surgery after his season was cut short after he was hit in the face with a baseball in April. Penn State softball sophomore designated player Brooke Klosowitz has picked up a postseason top 100 player ranking for 2025. She is rated as the 98th best player in the country, according to D1 Softball's postseason D100 player ranking release. She is one of 15 Big Ten student-athletes making the list. Nittany Lions joining six other conference schools in having at least one player recognized on the list. She batted 422 this past season. That was the fourth best single-season mark in Penn State history. Penn State women's soccer incoming freshman defender Hannah Jordan has been named to the inaugural U.S. Soccer Women's College Talent ID camp after a release from the United States Soccer Federation yesterday. One of 42 current or incoming collegiate student athletes selected, Jordan joins a group from across the country in the historic camp, which will run from June 18th through the 22nd in Atlanta, Georgia. All of the field players invited to the camp have limited prior programming with the U.S. women's soccer youth national teams. The camp is a collaboration between the Talent ID staff, the U.S. youth national team's head coaches, and the USWNT staff. Penn State women's volleyball receiving verbal commitments from 2027 recruits Najari Crooks and Taylor Harrington. Crooks is rated as the number one right side hitter in the country. Harrington is rated as the fourth best middle blocker in the nation. They are the first two recruits for the 2027 cycle. I would say that cycle is off to a good start.
That's good, yeah.
Crooks is a standout at Wesleyan Christian Academy in North Carolina and is Prep Digs' number 11 overall player in the country. Harrington rates as the 16th best overall player in the country out of Wakefield High School in Virginia. Those two, by the way, will be playing together later this month, June 24th through the 28th, for the USA Under-19 national team in the Pan American Cup in Canada. Penn State women's tennis head coach Alexandra McIntyre has announced the hiring of Colby Meeks as an assistant coach. Meeks has been with programs at Liberty, Rice, and New Mexico, and comes to Penn State after spending the last year at Liberty. The Philadelphia Phillies beat the Miami Marlins last night 5-2. That is their fifth straight victory. Trey Turner led the game off with a home run for the Phillies, and he and Alec Baum each had a pair of home runs for Philadelphia. Max Kepler also homered for the Phillies. Mick Abel gave up just one earned run in five innings of three-hit ball to earn the victory. He is now 2-0. The Phillies are now just two games behind the Mets in the National League East. Game two of that series with the Marlins is on tap tonight with a 6:10 first pitch scheduled in Miami. The Pittsburgh Pirates had yesterday off. The Buccos will open a three-game series against the Tigers in Detroit this evening at 6:40. Airtime will be at 6:15 right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Pittsburgh is 29-44 on the season, 8.5 games out of fourth place in the National League Central. The Tigers, by contrast, have the best record in all of Major League Baseball at 46-27. The Tigers lead the American League Central Division by 9 games over Minnesota. Bailey Falter will get the start for the Bucks tonight against Casey Mize for Detroit. Again, first pitch at 6:40 airtime here on Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox is set for 6:15. State College Spikes will open a six-game homestand tonight with the first of three against Mahoning Valley. The Spikes are 3-4 in the season. First pitch at Medler Field at Lebrano Park is set for 6:35. And the Leser Lumber Football Classic is set for Friday night at Rogers Stadium in Bellefonte. Practices underway for both the North and the South squads. There will be 12 Center County players suiting up for the North roster, including 3 from host Bellefonte. That game will kick off at 7 o'clock Friday evening. We will have live coverage of that game for you starting at 6:45 right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Our lineup today after our show ends here, Let's Talk, wraps up at 10 o'clock. We'll join Dan Patrick. He'll man the airwaves until 12 noon. Then Joe Lednoski will take over from noon to 2. From 2 to 4, it'll be your final chance to hear the Dear Goon and yours truly for 2.5 weeks.
Whoa.
We are taking a midsummer hiatus with the program. We have Pirates baseball Thursday afternoon, so no show on Thursday, and then we are off the next 2 weeks. We're actually both out of town the following week. We normally take off that July 4th week, and Goon is out of town anyway, so I'm like, yep, let's go ahead and we'll run with that. So we are off for the next 5 scheduled programs, and then we'll be back that second week in July, ready and raring to go and getting ready for football season. But if you love Goon and Ironhead as much as Goon and Ironhead love Goon and Ironhead, join us for the Goon and Ironhead show today from 2 to 4 at Quaker Steak and Lube. And then Jed Donahue. He's not going anywhere. He's from 4 to 6. And then again, we will have Pittsburgh Pirates baseball rolling your way tonight as the Buccos take on the Detroit Tigers. Ugh. I'm not overly optimistic about this series, but you never know. 6:15, again, will be the airtime tonight here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
All right, let's break.
Yep, stay tuned. We have one more big final segment on the show this morning. You don't want to miss it.
Well, medium-sized segment.
Is the is this going to be our last show? We'll tell you when we come back. Yep, we'll let you know when we come back.
Uh-oh.
Is this the end?
Oh, no.
Find out in just a few minutes on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. I said on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Are your deductibles too high? Or are you completely uninsured? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Healthcare Help Desk can help you now, when people need help the most. Health insurance laws and rules have changed. If you have Obamacare, are uninsured, or your premiums are too high, call Healthcare Help Desk. It's free. New healthcare plans are available, and you may qualify for dental coverage and lower copays and deductibles. Make the free call now. Top quality coverage at the lowest prices anywhere. You may be paying too much and not even know it. In these troubled times, healthcare is more important than ever. Don't let another day go by without health insurance. Policies are being offered with very low copays and deductibles. So if you're uninsured, underinsured, or paying too much, call Healthcare Help Desk.
800-930-2263. 800-930-2263. 800-930-2263.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
The Fox.
Summer Splash is in the books for 2025. Frank Bendek was a winner of a beautiful barbecue grill supplied by Pam and Fisher's Market. Along with the barbecue grill, Frank also won a $100 gift card from Giant in Bellefonte. In addition, we had 6 other winners of great prizes during Summer Splash from throughout the area. Remember, at Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, we want to make summertime fun. Fun in the sun. All summer long with Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7.
98.7. The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Fox Sports.
All right. For those of you staying tuned through the break, wondering if this is our last show, no. We've got a lot more to go. I just wanted to be hanging on the edge.
Cheap publicity.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
That's deplorable.
That'd be ridiculous.
Funny, but deplorable. Mm-hmm. All right. We got 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right. Today, ladies and gentlemen, is National Eat Your Vegetables Day. Get out there and eat those vegetables, but wash them down with a little root beer. It is National Root Beer Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Haven't had that in a while.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Okay.
It is also National Apple Strudel Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Yummy.
And National Cherry Tart Day. We couldn't separate the strudel and the tart so they could each have their own day.
Yes.
That's a lot of pastries that I got to get down here over the course of the day to celebrate properly. It is also National Mascot Day.
Oh.
Congratulations to the Pirate Parrot and the Nittany Lion.
Yes.
Among my favorite mascots.
And the Oriole and the Philly Fanatic.
Fanatic is good. You got to give it up for the Fanatic. Hey, Oriole.
Come on. Stop it.
I do like Sparty.
Who?
Sparty.
Michigan State.
I have a soft spot for
the Ohio Sparty. State guy's name. What's his name? The Ohio State mascot? He has a name.
He does have a name.
You can't remember his name.
It's not Bob. I know that.
No, it's not Bob.
Brutus Buckeye.
Brutus Buckeye. Yes. There we go. I was blanking on his name. Brutus.
Well, okay. I was ready to say Bucky, and I'm like, I know that is not right. No. That's Wisconsin. That's Bucky Badger. But, Brutus.
Brutus Buckeye. Yeah. There we go.
Okay. He's a nut.
I get it. Okay. All right, folks, rescue us for about 3 minutes here. 814-954-7266. All right, let's mention this is not a national thing. This is a local thing. This is a flood watch thing, which is on until, I'm going to say, at least 10 o'clock tonight. We're supposed to get some heavy rains possibly during the day or tonight. Hopefully not as bad as some, like, West Virginia. Ooh, really nasty stuff down there and some other places. Yesterday, I'm at home, and I'm thinking, okay, this is bad. I'm looking at the Tuesday weather forecast. That's today. Tomorrow might rain. Thursday might rain. I'm looking at my lawn in the backyard. I'm like, okay. So I hop on the lawn tractor for 2 hours and mowed. Yeah, my lawn does not look very nice. It's got ruts and but hey, everything is cut. Because if we get the rain that is some folks are predicting, especially for today, it's already marshy in a lot of places. It's going to be even more marshy here in the next couple of days, which means I probably won't be able to mow for a week. And if I waited a week, I would have a hay field instead of a lawn. Well, then I would need to get a tractor instead of a lawn tractor. Ugh. So I'm out there, and by the time I'm done, my lawn tractor's all muddy, and it's like, and I look at one part of my lawn like, that looks terrible. Ugh. Oh, my wife was like, what the heck is that? I'm like, I can't help it. It's too darn wet. All right. So we had Joe Bastardi yesterday, and he kind of filled us in on all that stuff. Then it's going to get hot next week.
Yeah, well, we got thunderstorms coming on Thursday, too, he thinks. But
yeah.
Then we get...
So it's like, what fun.
Uncomfortably hot. Couple of other, just real quick, too. Just interesting that birthdays today, there are two people with foods... important foods in my mind. The inventor of Wheaties. Wheaties were, by the way, do you know when they were invented?
Wheaties cereal. 100 years ago? I don't know.
That's about right. 1921 is when George Cormack, came out with Wheaties. I think they were introduced to the masses in 1924, but they were created in 1921, and then they just sat there in a box for 3 years.
Ooh,
or something.
Ooh, gets stale. Know. That's bad.
And Ruth Graves Wakefield. Do you know who Ruth Graves Wakefield is?
No.
She was born on this day in 1903, and we don't, I don't know that we know this for absolute certain, but she is considered and widely regarded to be the creator of the chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, is that right?
Well done, Ruth. We were glad
wow.
that you were born in 1903 and created, we believe. You get credit for it anyway, the chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, yeah.
Job well done.
Okay.
So go enjoy some strudel, some tarts, some chocolate chip cookies, and wash it all down with root beer, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.